Welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Gordon, a.k.a. the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the voice of reason, the man with all the logic, Dion Tyree Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. San Francisco 49ers lose 23-15 to the Washington football team. That game was 2020 in a nutshell. A football team with no nickname versus a team with no home. 49ers, of course, playing in Arizona. Clusterfuck, mess, disaster, pure disarray for this season. I said last week the season was over. I meant that shit. The season's over. This loss last Sunday confirmed that. Losing two games, coming off the momentum of beating the Rams, and then going this two-game tailspin, getting embarrassed on Monday night versus Buffalo, and then giving away a game. Well, I shouldn't say they gave away a game, but getting beat by the Washington football team last Sunday in a game that should have won. Washington didn't even score an offensive touchdown. But fortunately for them, Nick Mullins was working as a secret agent for them and gave them two touchdowns with a fumble return and a hideous pick six that was taken back to the house by Cameron Curl. Chase Young took the fumble back. Chase Young should be illegal. Like, when he steps on the field, it should be a 15-yard penalty. That dude's ridiculous. That whole defense, I told people coming into this game, Washington's front seven is nasty. You got Chase Young, Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Ryan Kerrigan, and Montez Sweat. Them brothers ain't no joke. They're the third-ranked pass defense in the league for a reason. That front seven reminds me of what San Francisco had a season ago and no longer has. But what I saw on Sunday was par for the course. I knew that was going to happen. And I saw people during the game and since then killing Nick Mullins. Like, what's wrong with Mullins? Why didn't Shanahan take him out of the game? For who? For what? If it's C.J. Beathard in the game, is that what you really wanted? C.J. Beathard's 1-9 in his career. C.J. Beathard's fucking terrible. So many people clamoring for C.J. Beathard to get in the game. For what? What is he going to do? For what purpose does that serve? You might as well keep Mullins on the field. Either way, you're going to lose. I know you can't think that way, but it's reality. You going to bench Nick Mullins? Do you have 1994 Steve Young on the bench? You have 2013 Peyton Manning warming up? No, you have C.J. fucking Beathard. So either you're going to drive a used 94 Saturn with 300,000 miles on it and a leaking transmission, or you're going to drive a used 09 Camry with all four windows busted out, the windshield cracked, catalytic converters fucked up, leaks radiator fluid, it won't start, can't go over 40 miles per hour. Which car do you want to drive? That's the dichotomy between C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins. They both are trash. I'll say this about Nick. Maybe I'm too harsh on him. I think the fan base is too harsh on him. The guy is a $650,000 undrafted free agent. He's not supposed to be that good. What happened on Sunday was exactly what was supposed to happen. Talent matters in this league. You can scheme, you can game plan all day. At the end of the day, talent wins out. Washington has more talent on the field than the 49ers did on their offense. They have five first-round draft picks in their front seven going against an undrafted free agent quarterback. The talent just didn't match up. And we do have a first-round draft pick on our defense. He's just not very talented. He gets exposed on a weekly basis. Mike McGlinchey, to me, was more egregiously shit than Nick Mullins was in this game. So many people killing Mullins. McGlinchey's a knife overall pick in the draft. He is a first-round draft pick, and he has not played up to standard. That's not even nowhere close to playing up to standard. When you watch McGlinchey play, he's either chasing, falling down, or late on a play. He's getting punched. He doesn't initiate contact. He gets punched around by whoever he's going up against. Montez Sweat kicked his ass all game long. If it wasn't Montez Sweat kicking his ass, it was Ryan Kerrigan. A different Washington football team player would line up and kick Mike McGlinchey's ass all 60 minutes. There was a screenplay to Ayuk that McGlinchey was falling down, couldn't get the block on. It could have been bigger yardage. Ayuk ended up picking up 7 yards, but it could have been a bigger gain than that if McGlinchey could stay on his feet. He got manhandled. He's supposed to be a good run blocker. He got manhandled in run blocking. It was a play where Raheem Mostert took an inside draw up the middle. McGlinchey's supposed to be blocking either Bostic or Payne, one of those guys. He gets destroyed at the point of attack. Mostert picks up 5 yards. He could have taken that to the house. That could have been a house call for Raheem Mostert if Mike McGlinchey could do his job properly. He is the drizzling shits. He is abysmal. He is Nicki Minaj ass terrible. Now, Mike McGlinchey is listed as being 6'8", 291 pounds. I can't tell. He looks weak. He looks malnourished. He looks malnutrition. He looks like I should donate money to him. He looks like he spent the offseason at Tyrone Bingham's $450,000 crack giveaway party. It was 6'8", 291 at right tackle. You're below 300 pounds. Eat something, Mike, and fight back when you're out there. He looks like a victim. He looks like the black woman in the Tyler Perry movie. He needs a light-skinned brother like Shamar Moore to come in and save him. That's what Mike McGlinchey looks like. That's what I feel like when I watch him play football. He needs some Shamar Moore-looking brother to come out there and save him from getting his ass beat by some bald-headed, dark-ass brother that's always doing wrong in a Tyler Perry movie. They wasted a first-round draft pick on this dude. He was supposed to slide over to left tackle and take Joe Staley's job. That's never going to happen. He can't even hold it down at right tackle. The dude's whole, he's a turnstile. He was the worst player on the field for the 49ers. Him and Lakin Tomlinson. That offensive line's in shambles. Other than Trent Williams, that whole line's embarrassing. McKivitz, School, Brunskill, all of them, trash. Everyone's killing Nick Mullins. I don't want to sound like an apologist for Nick Mullins or I'm making excuses for him, but like I said, the guy is who he is. He's a poor man's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's an undrafted free agent going against a defense with a handful of guys who are former first-round draft picks in the front seven, five of them. What happened on Sunday is what I expected to happen. It's what I said was going to happen. It's a league about talent. The 49ers right now don't have enough talent to compete with whoever's on their schedule, except Dallas. I think they can beat Dallas this Sunday because Dallas has also been decimated by injury, in particular to Dak Prescott. And going against a guy like Andy Dalton, they should be able to contain him. Well, Andy Dalton contains himself as soon as he wakes up in the morning. He's just trash, but he's not really a difficult quarterback to game plan for. That's why San Francisco had success in this game after getting torn apart by Josh Allen, a mobile, strong, dual-threat, athletic quarterback, a freak of nature physically. But you go against a very mortal Alex Smith, who everyone knows the injury, the comeback story, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Give him all the credit in the world for being back on the field. Although he did exit this game with a calf injury. But he's a quarterback. I mean, Washington's offense is 26th in the league. So you expect the 49ers defense to bounce back after that pitiful performance on Monday versus Buffalo. And they were missing Antonio Gibson. So you expected the defense to play well. The defense gave up no touchdowns and still lost the football game. Because the offense, in particular, the guy playing right tackle, couldn't execute. Once again, Mullins played like shit, but I expected them to play like shit. But when your defense doesn't yield any touchdowns and you hold your opposing team's quarterbacks to a combined 15 of 32, 108 yards and one pick, obviously no touchdowns, you should win the game. But this is the seventh straight game San Francisco's had two or more turnovers. It's not a recipe for winning football games. This team is fucked up. And it's sad to see, you know, especially after how joyous and how wonderful 2019 was. But we've come crashing down to earth this season. And I feel like the wheels were set in motion. I've spoke about this before in the podcast. The wheels were set in motion post losing Super Bowl 54. I feel like myself and every other 49er fan needs to go to therapy and talk to someone about the PTSD we all suffer from in the midst of losing Super Bowl 54, blowing that 10-point lead, being up 7 with the championship number 6 firmly within reach, and just choking and failing, blowing the game. Every Niner fan, myself included, and Niner players and members of the organization need to go to therapy and talk to someone about this. Because I felt like I just had a bad feeling, got a pit in my stomach. I had a feeling that the organization and the fan base, and maybe even some guys on the team, were still mentally stuck in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54. And I felt like a lot of people, once again, fan base included, maybe even organization, maybe coaching staff, who knows, all thought that when the 2020 season started, it was going to start in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54, and the 49ers are going to get a redo. We get a mulligan, try it again. We're going to start the 2020 season, the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54. You're going to be up by 10. This time, just close it out and win it. It doesn't work like that. Other teams spend the offseason getting better. They acquire draft capital. They keep that draft capital. They draft good football players to fill out their roster. They make shrewd moves in free agency. They make good trades. San Francisco didn't do that in the offseason. pretty decent draft this year. Ayuk and Kinlaw have both been great. Ayuk is outstanding. Ayuk was the best player on the field last Sunday. And trading a third-round pick to get Trent Williams to replace Joe Staley, who retired the day prior to the draft, that was good. But everything else, to me, indicated you resting on your laurels. The problems this team has this season existed last season. We just had a great defense, and things went our way. The ball bounced our way favorably, and we were able to overcome a lot of those shortcomings from last season. This season, not so much. Now those shortcomings are getting exposed. And once again, to bring it back to McGlinchey, McGlinchey's a good run blocker, allegedly. Most of the time he is. He's not a good pass blocker. And he's a particular, when San Francisco is down, as they've been the majority of the games this season, you know, you're chasing, trying to come from behind. Obviously, you're in passing mode. You're going to abandon the running game if you're down by two scores late and you need to get in the end zone. And in pass protection situations, Mike McGlinchey, a right tackle, is a liability. Last year, we were running the ball and we had the lead, and it was a close game. It was down to the wire. You could run it or pass it. He wasn't getting exposed so much. But going back to last season, interior line was an issue. Interior lines were lost in Super Bowl for us, among other things. And there was nothing done in the offseason to address the interior line, to fortify and improve what we got going on in between the tackles. They just remained stagnant. They came back this year with a patchwork offensive line, similar to what you had last year, and you see the results. You were not going to get 2019 repeated again, 2020. It doesn't work like that. You were not going to get all those miracle finishes last year, the ball bouncing your way, causing all those turnovers, all that fortuitous luck we had last year. And we had a great team last year. You're also not going to get a top five defense and a top five running game in back-to-back seasons. You're going to take hits. And we did this year, and we haven't been able to fight back. They give a value and effort every week, but not addressing issues from last season has carried over into this season. Now the team's sitting at 5-8, and their playoff hopes are on life support right now. Didn't address the secondary. Just brought back everyone from last year's secondary. Emmanuel Mosley, Akilah Witherspoon, Quan Williams, you know, the aging Richard Sherman. Jason Verrett has been a revelation this year. He didn't play at all. He didn't play too much last season. Played in the Pittsburgh game. Other than that, he didn't play. And he's been our best corner. He had a pick last Sunday off Alex Smith. He's been putting in work all season for the most part. But everyone else, like I said, an aging Richard Sherman. Sherman got beat in his Washington game on a post route. Should have been a touchdown. Should have been a big gain downfield, maybe even a touchdown. The ball was incomplete. He got bailed out by the receiver jumping too early. But Sherman gets beat on a regular basis now. And the other DBs are too small and can't stay on the field. They're always hurt. Quan Williams, Emmanuel Mosley, Akilah Witherspoon take turns getting hurt and missing football games. You had issues going back to last season. They weren't addressed in the offseason, and now it's carried over into this season, and now we suck. Now we're going to miss the playoffs for 5-8. You reap what you sow. You have an entire offseason to get better. The 49ers didn't, and they were handcuffed in a lot of areas because of the salary cap and the amount of money they're paying the other guys, and the amount of money they wanted to get to George Kittle to re-sign his contract and keep him in the 49er uniform for the foreseeable future. You know, different guys needed to get paid. I understand that. NFL's a business, but I've said this before. You look around the division, other teams got better. The Rams brought in Jalen Ramsey last year. The Seahawks brought in Jamal Adams. Arizona brought in DeAndre Hopkins. Other three teams in our division got better. They brought in an impact player to improve their football team. Trent Williams is a good left tackle, but not quite the impact player that someone like DeAndre Hopkins is going to be. You had all these issues coming into the season. It was really contingent upon Garoppolo playing to a high level this year, and Garoppolo came and stayed on the field. You know, and I kept seeing all throughout the game last Sunday, see, all you Nick Mullins people, are you happy now? You've got Nick Mullins for all these games. He's terrible. Look at his win-loss record. We're always losing with Nick Mullins. We always win with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's 22-8. You know, I'll say this about Garoppolo. He's not that good, but he's got some loyal, obsequious, devoted fans within the 49er fan base. He's got some people that are going to war for him. There's some Niner fans out there that take a bullet for Jimmy Garoppolo. They love Jimmy Garoppolo. That 22-8 means something. You can't say anything about Jimmy Jesus. Don't you dare speak bad about their little Garoppolo. He was the sole reason we got to the Super Bowl last year. He was the reason we won 15 games all last season, 13 the regular season, 2 in the playoffs. He was the guy. He's the missing piece. Without him, Kyle Shanahan's a bum. He's an idiot. Doesn't know what he's doing. It's all about his play calling. He gets exposed by any other quarterback besides Jimmy Garoppolo. You can't say a word about Jimmy to most 49er fans. He's the new god, I guess. He's 1989 Joe Montana and 1994 Steve Young all rolled up into one. Apparently, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know anything about football. When I sit down and watch a game, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at. Apparently, Jimmy Garoppolo is the greatest quarterback of all time, according to a lot of 49er fans. They love this dude based on 4.5, 5 good games last season, a favorable win-loss record. I've talked about this before. His win-loss record looks good because most of that is at 13-3 from last season. The entire team around him got better last year. We drafted Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel. We brought in Dee Ford and Quan Alexander. You know, we fortified the defense. We traded for Emmanuel Sanders in the middle of the season to give him another target to throw to. The team was really good last year. The team was great last year. I tell people all the time, I remember seeing a graphic going in the Super Bowl 54 that ranked the top 20 best players that were going to be playing in that game between Kansas City and San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo was like 14 on a 20-player list. You know, the best, Herm Edwards said it best, the best ability a player can have is availability. Take everything else Jimmy does or doesn't do and just sit that to the side. All you got to do is look at, is he available on Sunday? He's sitting up in the press box. You can complain about Nick Mullins all you want to. Nick Mullins wouldn't be on the field if Jimmy knew how to stay healthy. If Jimmy had pocket presence. If Jimmy could avoid taking hits. If Jimmy could move. If he wasn't a statue. If he wasn't out there playing with cement shoes in his feet. If he didn't have an anchor tied to his ass. If Jimmy could move and protect himself on the football field, he'd be on the field. The greatest ability a player can have is availability. Can you actively participate in the game this week? Most of the time for Jimmy Garoppolo, the answer is no. He's physically unable to perform. There's a lot of questions to ask for this 49er team going into this offseason. This is a make-or-break offseason for Lynch and Shanahan. But the quarterback position has got to be sewn up and has got to be upgraded. Kyle has to get his guy. The quarterback situation has to improve. They have to get a reliable, dependent quarterback who can play every week and stay on the field, preferably someone who's athletic, can move and defend himself, extend plays. I tell the Jimmy Sicko fans all the time, like, for any quarterback that you ridiculously state Jimmy is better than, individually, just grade and evaluate each player individually. Take the team win-loss record out of it, because that's a team win-loss record. Evaluate these players individually. I've had people tell me they'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo than Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, etc. I've seen people in Facebook groups say that Garoppolo is a top 5, top 10 quarterback in the league. That's insane. You know, the hypothetical was thrown out a few days ago on social media. I've seen people discussing Dak Prescott potentially playing for the San Francisco 49ers. So many Niner fans just shot that down. Like, you fucking kidding me? Prescott sucks. We already have our quarterback. We have Jimmy Garoppolo. With Dak, there's a lot of questions to answer. The contract situation is injury. He had a compound fracture of his ankle. So you have to address that. That's a big elephant in the room. Can this guy get back to the level he was playing at before he got hurt? Because he was playing at a high level. He was carrying that Dallas team. And you see what's happened to Dallas ever since Prescott got hurt. They've fallen off a cliff. But when I see people say that, it take both of them at face value, both of them at 400% health, that Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Dak Prescott, you got to be on bath salts. You got to be smoking earwax rolled up in the index card, dipped in gravy. The fuck are you doing with your life? You think Jimmy is, there's nothing that Jimmy does that Dak couldn't do. Meanwhile, there's a lot of things Dak can do that Jimmy can't do. I get depressed watching other teams play with their quarterbacks. I watched that Monday night game with Cleveland and Baltimore. Just seeing the way that Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield could extend plays and use their athleticism to make big plays, to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. When the pocket collapses, everything breaks down around you. They can just go. They can figure it out. They can make something happen. It was a play. Cleveland had the ball on the five-yard line. The pocket collapsed. Everything broke down around Baker Mayfield. He escaped out of the pocket and ran in for a touchdown. I don't remember the last time I ever seen Jimmy Garoppolo do that. Lamar Jackson has to go take a shit. He goes in the locker room, takes the shit, comes back out. The Trace McSorley got hurt. 4th and 5, season on the line. He comes out, rolls to his right. The defense cheats up on him because they obviously respect Lamar's running ability. Hollywood Brown's wide open. Lamar gets flicked the wrist to Hollywood Brown. He walks in for a score. Touchdown Ravens. Jimmy can't make those plays. Everything's got to be on schedule for Jimmy. Everything has to go according to plan. When Jimmy tried to get out of the pocket and run and make a big play, blew out his knee. 49er fans got to come to grips with the fact we don't have a franchise quarterback on our roster. Like I said at the beginning of this, people were clamoring for Nick Mullins to get benched and bringing C.J. Beathard for what? What was C.J. Beathard going to do? Obviously, Kyle has no faith in him. Mullins stunk it up on Sunday, and Beathard stayed on the bench. Now, Kyle said in the postgame he was going to bring in C.J. for a spark, but then Nick took us down and scored a touchdown. That's beside the point. Even if you were going to bring in C.J., I had no faith in him either. We don't have a quarterback. And this is why I say the things I say. I'm just transparent. I'm just open and honest about things. We don't have a quarterback. Even the guy, Jimmy Garoppolo is the best quarterback we have. That's clear. Individually, talent-wise, skill ability. He's a former second-round draft pick. He's supposed to be the guy. He's making a $127 million contract. $27 million against the salary cap. He's supposed to be great. He's supposed to be the guy. They traded him and brought him in for a reason. He's just not. If you can't stay on the field, what good are you? All the problems this team had last season, Garoppolo included, have come back to rear his ugly head this season. He can't stay on the field. Your secondary gets carved up by elite quarterbacks. Your old defense gets carved up. You have no pass rush without Nick Bosa. Your offensive line can't block a friend request on Facebook. You know, the whole team's in shambles. I said this before. I've been saying it all season. You reap what you sow. When you don't accomplish anything in the offseason, when you just come in with the mindset that we're going to start the 2020 season in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54, when you nonsensically dub this season the revenge tour, when you do dumbass shit, when you don't try to improve weak areas in the football team from a year ago because you think, well, we got to the Super Bowl, so we're close. All we got to do is just come back this season and finish it. Once again, it doesn't work like that. There's too many issues on this football team they didn't address in the offseason, and it's kicking their ass this season. You just hope, as a fan, that when the next year offseason comes, they fix this shit. They address the weak areas, quarterback, interior line, defensive secondary, running back. I would draft another running back. Now, you need players that can stay on the field. Garoppolo is not alone in being often injured. Raheem Mostert gets banged up and hurt a lot. Debo Samuel got hurt the first drive of the game, pulled his hamstring. He's a guy, another guy who can't stay on the field. You know, you're going to run this certain system and utilize Debo the way you use him. He initiates and takes on a lot of contact. You worry about his long-term health and productivity. He had hamstring injuries in college. He got banged up a little bit last season. He's been banged up all starting with the offseason. He broke his foot, came into this season, missed the first couple of games of the year, pulled a hamstring, now he pulled his hamstring again. You worry about some of these guys. Kittle, another guy gets hurt a lot. That's why I have no idea why they even entertain putting Kittle in the field these last three games. They're not making the playoffs. Save this dude for next year. He has nothing to prove. You know, I just speak as a concerned fan. Shanahan's not absolved from this either. You know, I like Kyle. I think Kyle's done a great job coaching the team, but my biggest critique of Kyle is that sometimes I think he gets too enamored with his playbook and his play calling and thinks, you know, all you have to do is go execute my plays. My playbook works. Just go out there and run the play the exact way I told you to run it. It's fine. He's a great play caller. Schematically, he's one of the best in the game. From a conceptual standpoint, his offense is incredible. It's a great offense. But Do we put too much emphasis in getting players that fit the system and not too much emphasis on just getting the best player available? You know, Kyle definitely has his guys, Tevin Coleman, Jet McKinnon, Trent Taylor. Those are his guys he wants in the team. Deebo Samuel, and Deebo Samuel's a great player, but he can't stay on the field. The best ability is availability. At what point do we just get out of this mindset of the system, the system, the system, and start getting the best football players available? They have to get this draft right. They have to get this offseason right. Right now, they have nine draft picks. It could potentially be 11 or 12. You can get an additional draft pick if Quan Alexander, who we traded to the New Orleans Saints, plays 72% of the snaps. You get an additional draft pick. You potentially get two more if Robert Saleh gets hired as a head coach somewhere. There's a new condition added to the Rooney Rule that not only that if you develop and mold a minority head coaching candidate and he becomes a head coach somewhere else, your team will then be awarded two additional draft picks. So if San Francisco can acquire 11 or 12 draft picks going into the 2012 draft, I hope they keep all of them and hope they use them all on drafting the best football players they need to fill out the holes in this team. Get your quarterback in the future. You can tell Kyle doesn't like Jimmy. I don't think he ever really did. You have a chance now. You fucked up in 2017. You didn't draft Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. Now you have another opportunity. Don't fuck it up again. Draft your quarterback, Kyle. Go get your guy. Take care of the interior line. Add another ball carrier. Get a bigger, thicker running back that can play. Mostert's a slight guy. So all of our running backs are slight of frame guys. Get a bigger, thicker running back. Get someone younger and more durable that can play the way you want them to play in your system. Get secondary help. Solidify the defensive line. But most importantly, get your quarterback. Once again, I don't give a fuck who it is. Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Kyle Trask, Trey Lawrence, or somebody else. Kyle Shanahan needs to go get Kyle Shanahan's quarterback this offseason. It could be Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, whoever. There's no more excuses. Go get your quarterback. Clearly, Jimmy wasn't the guy. He can't stay healthy anyway. He was very limited when he was on the field. He won games, yes. The team around him got better. There were some games he had, New Orleans last year, both Cardinals games. Okay, I get it. Week 17 versus Seattle, blah, blah, blah. He had his moments. It's time to go. Save money. Do not reward him again. Unless he's willing to take a pay cut, which I doubt it. Do not overpay for this guy again. Move on. Kyle, go draft your quarterback so you can have no more excuses. At some point, it has to be more than my plays worked and guys were open. What is the team doing? What is our clock management like? I feel like there was a lack of urgency in the fourth quarter versus Washington. The defense held up. The defense was getting repeated stops. Like I said, they only threw for 108 yards in that game. They only had 198 yards total. The defense was getting stops on Sunday. But the offense would come back on the field, this laissez-faire approach, just kind of walking and going through the motions. Just real slow and lackadaisical about everything. You have opportunities to get back in this game. Where's the sense of urgency? Where's the clock management at? Are you just playing for the final possession to score and get the two-point conversion to tie it? You had three opportunities. Play faster. Sense of urgency. Execute. There's a lot of issues on this team. I can't stress it enough. It was never going to start in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54. You had to go out and earn it. And the 49ers didn't earn it this year. A lot of mistakes from years past have come back to bite us, unfortunately. It is what it is. You got to take it on the chin. Take it like a man. You can't go to the Super Bowl every year. Last year was a magical season. It was awesome. 2019 was so fun. You know, this year, on the other hand, sucks. But that's just the way it goes in the NFL. One more note before I get up out of here. I want to give credit to the Washington football team. They balled out. That team came correct. That team's won four games in a row. Like I said, they're not lighting up offensively. Smith is who he is. He's checked down Alex. Dwayne Haskins. I thought Dwayne Haskins, I said this throughout the game, when Smith limped off the field and Haskins came in, I kept telling myself, I told the people I was talking to online, told my girlfriend, I was like, Haskins is going to give us one. And he almost did. He threw it. What was ruled on the field as an interception by Jimmy Ward, but he couldn't quite make the catch. The ball hit the ground, was overturned. They got the ball back. But I knew Haskins would give us an opportunity. But, you know, it is what it is. Last year's 49ers make that interception. A great football team, a good football team makes that play. This year, we're not a good football team. You know, but I want to give credit where credit is due to the Washington football team for the defense being what it is, for that front seven, for the way they've been coached. Ron Rivera's doing a great job. That's a good football team trending in the right direction. They came in, handled their business, did their work, did what they're supposed to do. They kicked the 49ers' ass defensively. They forced turnovers. They made Nick Mullins very uncomfortable in the pocket. They've been doing that all season. They did the same thing to Ben Roethlisberger. And it's crazy to me. You know, I can admit that. I can say the other team played well. The other team did their job. And it's always striking to me when I come across other fans who just can't do it, just can't look at the other team and say, you know, those guys are pretty good too. So many people have like a singular focus on their favorite football team. They look at the 49ers and say, well, we got Debo back. We got Mostert back. You know, Kittle's coming back. We got this guy. We got that guy. Well, the other team has good players too. The other team practices. The other team puts together a game plan. The other team lifts weights, et cetera. So many sports fans in general, not just 49er fans, every team has a certain section of the fan base like this. They get so enamored in their own team, and their own team is all they know. You know, not every sports fan is as much of a nerd for it as I am. Not every football fan just eats, sleeps, and breathes and watches football 90% of the time like I do. You know, I watch other teams play. I watch other games that have nothing to do with the 49ers. Not everyone's like that. You have some football fans who are just 49er fans, and once the Niner game goes off, they're done with football for the week. Even before, San Francisco usually plays in the late window. They're not going to watch the 1 o'clock games. They don't care. You know, they'll keep an eye on it, maybe like for fantasy purposes or something like that, gambling purposes. But they just want to watch their team. And that's fine, but when you do that, you kind of lose sight of what the other team is doing. The other team is really good, too. Every football team in the league has good players on it, even the Jets. And it's easy to say, well, what's wrong with our guys? Well, we're getting beat. We're getting out-executed by the other football team that just happens to be better and more talented than we are. Buffalo was more talented. Washington defensively is more talented. When you have five first-round draft picks on your front seven, you have a good chance of winning every week. So that's just a PSA for me. Get in the habit of giving the other team credit sometimes. It's not always about your team. Recognize and respect game when you see it. Salute to the Washington football team. A team with no nickname, but a team with a defense. And that's it. I just wanted to go on a quick rant about the state of the 49ers and where they're at this week in regards to last week's game or just everything in general. Yeah, it's pitiful. It's trash. It's shit. It's abysmal. It's garbage. It's disgraceful. But it's reality for the 49ers in 2020. Hopefully they apply what I've been saying in my podcast and take that with them in the next season. Like I said, next year's draft is a make-or-break situation for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. That concludes this episode of the Deion Gordon Podcast. Picks will be rolling. I'm out.